4. Waterhouse. When Tatham had to return to London, I left Ivy Cottage and took up residence at a somewhat uncongenial cottage, which the other ancients soon named Rat Abbey, for obvious reasons. I lived austerely on a diet of eggs, milk, and apples, and never drank anything stronger than cider. In 1828, my circumstances were much improved when my father, accompanied by my younger brother William and my dear old nurse, Mary Ward, came down from London to live here at Waterhouse. We lived in just part of the building. The grand facade you see now was not added until after we left, but even so it was a great deal more comfortable than my former lodgings. Take a look at this plaque on the wall to the left of the gate. I am not a vain man, but I can't help feeling that I was never truly appreciated as an artist in my lifetime, so it gives me a little thrill of pleasure to see this erected in my memory. I notice they have generously added 3 years to my life. Ah, what I would have given for those years. For a start, I could have completed the etchings for my translation of Virgil's Eclogues. But I am straying from the point. Where was I? Oh, yes, Waterhouse, of course, and my early days. I can recall some wonderfully convivial evenings here when we ancients got together. I would sing or play the fiddle while Finch accompanied me on the pianoforte, and in the winter we would sit by the fireside with a great gorge of poetry books to get up the dreaming and a plentiful supply of my favourite gunpowder tea. My father, God bless his soul, was endlessly hospitable. He would think nothing of giving up his bed if one of the ancients turned up late at night, having made the journey from London. I had once been a bit of a dandy, but after catching my reflection in a shop window, I was forced to accept that I really didn't have the stature or the figure to be modish, so I decided to exchange fashion for practicality. Mary, my old nurse, kindly stitched a long, voluminous cloak for me. It was a marvellous garment with great roomy pockets, which I would fill with all manner of things, sketchbooks, pencils, nuts and apples. Once, when I was walking down a London street, an egg yolk in a bottle buried deep in one of those pockets exploded in a sulphurous bomb. I can still recall the terrible smell and the shocked faces of all who were passing by. It was intended for mixing with pigment, but had been quite forgotten about. It is all so much easier now that paint comes in tubes.
Image 12.
In summer, I was never without a wide-brimmed straw hat. It makes an appearance in more than one of my Shoreham pictures, and you can see it gracing this sketch of me by Henry Walter.
Image 13.
Here is another portrait of me, a miniature by George Richmond. You see how I have let my hair grow and have the makings of a beard. We all grew beards for a time, although it was long before it became the fashion. It's a tad idealized, I agree, but you needn't worry. He was just as capable of poking fun at me.
Image 14.
Look at this drawing, where I'm portrayed shuffling along with laces undone, hair all straggly, and absent-mindedly clutching an umbrella by the wrong end. I'm a complete disgrace.